On, we're reading Red Joan by Jenny Rooney. The producer was Elizabeth Allard.
And tomorrow, Joan recalls her Cold War activities and a devastating loss. For some exclusive Book at Beach Time content, including an interview with Jenny Rooney and behind-the-scenes photographs, go to the Radio 4 Extra website. Now, as you know, we're great ones for the drama here on 4 Extra, and this weekend is no exception. On Saturday, we've an award-winning drama that's made its way from the stage to radio and encompasses family strife, astrophysics and beekeeping. Bumbling scientist Felix Humble is called home after his father's death, only to find his dominating and difficult mother waiting for him.
I haven't been well.
Your father is dead, Felix. Your being unwell barely registers on the Richter scale. Were every one of us unwell? Mercy's not well. She hasn't been right in years.
Well, a little arthritis in my back.
And I am recovering from major surgery.
Oh, she is.
Plastic.
What did you say?
A nose job is not major surgery.
Oh, but her face was black and blue. You should have seen it.
Shut up, Mercy.
Dame Diana Rigg and Adrian Scarborough star in Humble Boy here on Radio 4 Extra on Saturday afternoon at 4.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
It's 3 o'clock and our drama for this hour is H.E. Bates' Fair Stood the Wind for France, starring Rory Kinnear and Tom Goodman Hill. That's next. Then in an hour, Mel Gedroych will be joined by the best-selling children's author Damien Dibben. We'll hear a tune from the world's oldest piano and discover the lesser-known history of Heathrow Airport. It's all in the 4 o'clock show. And it's double Mel today. She's reunited with her old comedy pal Sue Perkins. That Mel and Sue thing, tonight at 11. So now it's H.E. Bates' classic tale of danger, suspense and romance in wartime France. When a British aircrew ditch over occupied territory in the summer of 1942, injury and suspicion dog their attempts to survive and escape.
Hold on! Hold on! Stop!
They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn.
At the going down of the sun
and in the morning, we will remember them.
Fair Stood the Wind for France by H.E. Bates. Dramatised for radio by Maddie Fredericks. Episode 1.
What happened? What the hell happened?
Just beat down to 250 knots, Angels 5 and 4.
We lost the bloody port engine! Back it!
Don't give us a chance, I'm thinking.
We're completely stuck, we can forget life.
Angels 4, Carl!
Jesus, did you hear that?
Yeah. Flak we picked up over Turin and feathering the starboard fan. Angels 3! At least we're no longer a Vialt. What's your best guess?
Somewhere south of Paris. West, northwest of the boat.
Occupied or unoccupied?
Occupied unless we turn south.
Do we want to do that?
I'm not a
car! Okay, I'm going to deck it. The ground looks pretty flat beyond those
Nothing
trees.
It really matters.
What?
Whether it's occupied or not.
Why do you say that?
They're French! They're all bloody cruel!
Well, we're going to find that out. All set for France. This might be a bit bumpy.
I'm dying!
No!
grey shapes in the moonlight. And the beat of the engine tearing a hole through my left arm.
Shut it down.
That's it.
Christ, shut the engine down.
It's all right, we're all right. The engine's dead. You've been out cold for 10 minutes.
The ground was too soft. We just looped and wrapped up.
We're in some kind of marsh. God, I hate this bloody country. What are we going to do with the kite? Burn it?
The whole neighbourhood will have seen us come down.
Yeah, be running off to tell the Jerry's by now, no doubt.
Oh, so let's get out of here.
Ow! Ow! Look, I don't like the look of that arm.
We haven't got time.
Let's get your jacket off, Lou. Roll over a bit, can you? Okay. I'm going to pull a sleeve off now. You ready?
I wish I believed in something. If I believed in something, I'd pray.
Jesus. That's okay. I got you. Hold it up. I need to get a tourniquet on.
I never did like the sight of
blood. Press down with your other hand. I said hold it. Don't give out on me, Frankie.
But I was slipping away down a slope of cold darkness, where the only lights were the red stars of the station. All around, flashes and smoke. Bremen and Hamburg, and Diana screaming in the back of the car as we crashed the lights.
Frankie. You've got to stay awake for me. Skip, hold still. Almost done. Bleeding stopping, how's that?
Good.
Well, it's not good, but it'll have to do.
We should get moving.
Can you?
We'll leave the kite. Fire will only draw attention. Need to get those parachutes in, and then we need to work out where we are.
You do realise we don't stand a chance.
Of course we stand a chance.
Frenchies, they'll have already sold us down the river for a large cognac and pack it in their filthy fags.
What's your problem, Connie?
If we're ever in a slightly less pressing situation, I'll tell you. Look, can you stand up? I'll hold the arm.
Come in, sick.
Look, I've got a drop of rum here. Come on.
It's one hell of a moon.
How'd that feel?
Oh, God, this is bloody silly. I can't even stand straight.
Look, drink.
Okay, we're gonna need a compass, maps, logs.
Okay, taken care of. What about your jacket?
Just put it over my shoulders. Rations.
Of course, rations. Look, we need to start walking.
What's the time?
3:34.
We'll walk till sunrise and then lay up for the day. We'll try for due west. Straight into the moon, okay?
Okay. Come on.
Only I couldn't walk. Not without O'Connor supporting me. I felt foolish and angry. He saved my life that night. I never even thanked him. This had been our 37th Pathfinder mission, and although we called ourselves firm friends, I didn't really know him. You didn't really know me. When life was so cheap, you didn't dare. Not then, at least.
Well, there's a wire fence on the far side, which means we'll be out of the marsh. If we carry on for another hour, we should make faster progress. Do you drink some rum?
No. The more I have, the more I want it. Let's go.
Never seen a bigger moon in your life.
All the better to shoot us by.
Each footstep a minor triumph. If I concentrated on the moon, just the moon and nothing else, I could somehow blot out the pain.
Oh!
What do you think?
This'll do. Plenty of undergrowth. But we can see down into the valley.
We'll put our heads down for a bit. There's the arm.
Dead from the elbow down. Leave it till after we've rested, yeah?
You're the boss.
Though of course I wasn't. Without him, I was nothing.
We need to arrange watches.
I'll go first. You get your head down.
Wake me in 2 hours.
Whatever you say, Skip.
Already I was sinking through the cold earth. In my stomach, the familiar sourness of my fear. I was putting us both in danger.
Frankie! Frankie!
Oh, what time is it? Oh. Oh! I thought I told you to wake me in 2 hours.
You went clean out, so I gave you a shot. Quietened you down. You've been sleeping ever since.
It's noon.
Court martial me, why don't you? Now, just been on a bit of a recce.
What?
Well, you weren't awake to ask. There's a proper road beyond the next hill and then a house.
If you'd got spotted, we'd have been done for.
I wasn't, though. How's that arm?
Still there.
You need to get it seen to. You've got a slit in it as long as a jackknife.
Hang on. Who's giving the orders around here?
Since when did we do orders?
You consult me first, that's all I'm saying. Right, what do you reckon? Occupied or unoccupied?
Instinct says occupied.
Ever the optimist?
No, I'd rather.
Why?
Because if it was unoccupied, we'd know they were bastards.
Oh, do pack it in, Colin.
I'm just saying, Vichy France is in bed with the Nazis. So if that's where we were, we'd know where we stood, that's all. We'd be buggered, but at least we'd know we were buggered. What's so funny?
Nobody's denying the French rolled over in 40.
Thank you.
But that doesn't instantly make them all collaborators.
You weren't there.
If you think we are going to make it all the way to Spain, best part of 800 miles, a rough guess. If you really think the two of us are going to make it all that way without the help of a Frenchman at some time, then you are out of your mind.
We're probably only a couple of hundred miles from the Channel coast.
Oh, so what's the plan, then? Make our way to Boulogne and ask for 2 singles to Dover on the ferry? Or were you thinking we might both swim it?
Are we done?
Rant over.
Hungry?
Not really.
Well, if you can bully me, I can bully you. Right, on the menu today, we have chocolate. We have biscuits, followed by more chocolate. And yet more biscuits.
And for rafters?
Chocolate and biscuits. At least they're British chocolate and biscuits.
So, we're heading for Spain?
Yeah, I suppose.
How far away was that house?
3 or 4 miles.
1,000 to 1 against there being troops around isolated houses. Or maybe you have a better idea?
No.
That way we can find out where we are. Maybe get a bit of proper food and a change of clothes. We'll go down at dusk. Until then, I suggest we get some sleep. This time we take turns. Agreed?
Agreed.
It was further than we thought. Best part of 2 hours before we found ourselves closing in.
What do you reckon?
I'm going up there.
Enough vines around here. But over the arm, we could probably live off grapes.
Only there is an arm. If I don't come back for any reason, don't do anything cockeyed, just carry on without me.
Is that another order?
Consider it a suggestion that must be implemented, okay?
Okay.
It wasn't until I was within 10 yards of the house that I saw her. She came stumbling out of the back door.
Bonsoir, madame. Quelque chose à manger.
Partez tout de suite, il n'y a rien à manger ici.
Cette route est sûre...
Je ne sais pas.
Où mène-t-elle?
Je ne sais pas.
Si vous êtes seule, n'ayez pas peur.
Nous ne pouvons pas vous aider. Les Allemands prennent tout. Mon mari est malade. Si vous traversez la rivière et continuez...
La rivière? Quelle rivière?
Je ne sais pas. Vous serez mieux de l'autre côté de la rivière. Allez-vous-en. Vite! Vite!
She clearly wasn't altogether pleased to see me. And despite my best schoolboy French, there was no getting through to her. No use in pressing the point.
I won't say I told you so.
She was frightened.
Are you seriously suggesting she had no food at all? Or a pair of scissors and a bandage?
All right, she might have been lying.
Of course she was lying.
What was I supposed to do, Connie? Slap her about a bit with my good arm?
Yeah, it'll come to worse than that.
She said something about a river.
Well, we're never going to wade that.
No point looking for a bridge, they're bound to be guarded. We'll swim.
With one arm?
Better than no arms.
Skip, you know very well, if that's not seen too soon...
Will you shut up about the bloody arm? We are going to swim. No arguments.
You can't move it. A bandage or soap, slip off. You break the wound open, you'll lose a hell of a sight more blood. You'll probably die. Perhaps of little consequence to you, but for me, a major inconvenience.
So what do you suggest?
I'll tell you over. Well, I swam two rivers back in 40, so I can do it. Let's get undressed, yeah? It'll take a couple of trips. I'll take the clothes over first. If we put them in a bundle, time off with our braces, we can probably keep them dry. Okay?
Okay.
So, what are we waiting for?
I can't unbend my arm. And the shirt's sticking to the bandage. I'm never going to be able to get it over my head.
So, we'll cut it off. Hold still.
He undressed me like a baby. I couldn't quite make up my mind if I loved him or hated him.
How was it? Bit of a current in the middle, but not too bad. Right. Sit in the water.
Sit?
Yeah, sit. Squat down. You never been baptized?
No, I'm CV.
Well, now you're going to see how the Baptists do it.
Oh, jeez.
You get used to it. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Hold the bundles against your chest and don't do a damn thing except lie still. Let's go.
But when I felt his hand beneath my chin, and then the water going past, smooth and cold and easy, I knew, though nothing was ever said, that we would be together, for each other and of each other, in whatever sort of end there might be. White, squarish. Next to it, a little orchard and a strip of vines, maybe 10 deep, stretching up towards us.
Yeah, you can see the wheel.
The sun's almost up. I suggest we bed down in the vines until we see some signs of life. Then I'll go down to the house, yes?
Skip.
It was O'Connor who saw her first. She'd come out to feed the hens.
Rule number one, from bitter experience, don't trust the women.
Yes, you've made your feelings very clear.
Especially the pretty ones.
She was about 300 yards away, below the vines. Black hair, white apron. And when she threw back her head to breathe in the day...
We're never going to get anywhere if we don't talk to them.
You will be careful, though, Skip.
Yes.
Please, God, let her not run. The blood pumping through my chest, in my arm... Give me a dozen Bremen trips before this. She didn't see me until I was close. The smooth, brown wooden bowl held tight against her body, just under her breast. Eyes big and bright and black. She didn't run.
Hello, I'm English. Can you help, please? Please.
Is it only you?
Here's the curious thing. All these years later, I only recall us speaking in English, which is plainly ridiculous. I had a little French, she had a little English. But looking back on it now, we understood each other right from the first minute.
No, two of us. My friend, he is in the vines.
So that's why the dog was barking. You'd better call him down.
Will it be all right?
Yes, it'll be all right.
She was utterly unbewildered. I turned and waved to O'Connor, but he was already on his way down.
This area, is it occupied? Germans?
Yes.
Where are we exactly?
Your friend is coming. Hello?
Hello?
We should go inside.
Grand-mère, il faut pas avoir peur.
Oh mon Dieu, mon Dieu!
Ne t'inquiète pas, ils ne vont pas te faire du mal.
is a blizzard.
Oui, papa.
Oh.
Va les chercher, Mamie. Oh. Vas-y.
Listen, do you want to see identification?
Oh. Did you... Oh! You need some help, biscuit.
No, I'm all right. There you go.
What were you flying?
A mosquito, two-man pathfinder, drops flares. Flares, big fireworks, to guide the bombers. We'd been to Italy.
Did you jump?
No, crash landed. Boom! Maybe 20 miles east. What's this place called?
Your arm.
Yes, when we crashed.
Monsieur?
How do you do?
Monsieur?
Connie, the man wants to shake your hand.
Monsieur? Are you the captain, or is it just that you speak French?
No, I'm the captain.
You're looking to stay? Yes?
We need rest.
Heading for Spain?
Absolutely, yes, Spain.
Oh. Long way.
We know.
Is he offering help?
Shh. Spain. How do we get there?
Well, it's not easy. Things only get worse. The Boche everywhere. You hear rumours. Hostage taking. Labour camps. Shooting.
Well, I don't want you to take risks.
Everything is a risk, monsieur. You'll need to eat. Wash. Shave. You have a razor?
Connie will. He's ever prepared.
Then please go up. My daughter will show you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed.
We followed the girl up two flights of stairs to an attic room with a single window that looked downriver across the valley.
Oh. You all right?
Fine.
There's a bloke down there.
Excuse me, who's the chap down there?
Pierre. He works here. We trust him.
Will he tell him about us?
He's a good man.
I tried to guess her age and couldn't. Her eyes didn't flicker for a moment. And now, for the first time, she smiled.
You'll need hot water.
She was the calmest, surest person I had ever met. It was a mystery.
So?
I don't like the look of that bloke.
He works here. She says we can trust him.
Sir.
Oh, come on, they couldn't have been friendlier.
Yeah, they were friendly to me too. Until they weren't. Okay, we have razor, shaving cream, toothbrush, soap, nail scissors, two service revolvers, 20 rounds of ammo. Who's going to shave first?
This is my grandmother, my father's mother.
Monsieur.
This is very kind of you.
Pierre and Papa are preparing the mill for you.
The mill?
Where you'll be staying. You'll have to remain there at all times and not come out. Perhaps at night, but even then, only one at a time.
We understand.
So, four of us and two of you. There's a bridge about 2 miles down the river. It's guarded day and night. If anyone else comes, it'll be that way. And it won't be good. Are you hungry?
Hungry, Connie?
Of course I'm hungry.
Normally we eat only eels. I fish for them. But today you're lucky. We have eggs.
Ah. You misled us, mademoiselle. Eggs, cheese, bread, apples, milk. Where are the eels?
I'm only sorry we have no coffee.
The sun streamed strong and white through the open door. For a moment, the world of flying, my world, the tension, the exclusiveness, the planes lined up on the black perimeter, the lonely reality of the runway, my belt a warm knife over the sour cushion of my stomach. They were all a remote dream. And I had reawoken into a brand new life. But the girl, too, was watching the door.
It's time you got into a safer place.
Well, we want to do whatever you think best. Offer them some chocolate, Connie.
What?
Just do it.
Madame?
Grand-mère, the Englishman is offering you chocolate.
What's going to her, Frankie?
Just pass it across.
There you go. Yours. What did I do? What have I said?
You did fine.
As long as you're in your flying clothes, you must stay out of sight.
If anyone comes?
If anyone should come, you can hide down here. At the bottom, and then down below the wheel shaft, see? No one will find you there. We'll bring you food and try and find some better clothes for when you leave.
Is anything likely to happen?
It's impossible to say.
But if it did, you would know?
Perhaps. But the most important thing is that you don't go outside. At least not in daylight.
Her face. So clear and untroubled. It was almost as if she'd been waiting for something like us to happen. As though she'd been expecting it. Hoping for it.
About your arm. You've lost a lot of blood.
A little.
Has it been dressed?
Not properly. Not since the crash.
Let me see. Come back with me to the house. I'll see what I can do.
Do you want me to come too?
Well, she's going to have a look at the arm. You'd better stay here.
Frankie.
Just keep an eye on the road.
How does it feel?
Like a lump of lead that's being pulled very slowly down the blood vessels of my arm. When it gets to the bottom, the whole thing starts all over again.
The dressing's all stuck together. The blood's dried. Wait a moment.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Is it a mess?
It's hard to say until it's clean. Not good.
No.
I'm afraid if we take the last of the bandage off, it'll bleed again and I won't be able to stop it.
Can't we just put another one over it?
A wound like that needs proper stitching.
Oh, that's a problem.
We must get you to a doctor.
Wouldn't that be dangerous for you?
The whole thing's dangerous.
Well, that's what I'm afraid of.
It's very simple. The arm needs a doctor and there's a doctor in town, so that's where we must go. If we let it get worse, it'll mean hospital, and if that happens...
I'd have to give myself up.
Which won't be nice. For anyone.
Oh, in which case, we'd better get into town.
Tomorrow, once we've got the chickens.
Chickens?
With the chicken, you can do most things. With two chickens, you can do anything. There's no need to be afraid, you know.
Who said I was afraid?
You're afraid someone will come. You're afraid for your friend. You're afraid of us. Now you're afraid for us.
I'm worried, of course. It's my responsibility.
You know what Grandmère says? Go to sleep and trust in God. Isn't that very sensible?
Yes, very sensible.
Then you go and sleep.
Yes. Of course. What's your name?
Françoise.
I'm John. John Franklin. People call me Frankie.
Your name is John, and they call you Frankie?
After my father.
Your father was called Frankie?
No, he was actually called Henry. It's a diminutive.
A what?
A diminutive of Franklin.
I thought you said his name was Henry.
Yes, doesn't matter really.
Well, I'm going to call you John.
Okay. Françoise.
And suddenly, there was a new kind of fear. One that ran alongside all the other fears. And it was to do with her.
Get on!
Good girl. Every story I'd ever heard of escape through France involved walking at night, avoiding towns, keeping away from trouble. And here I was, broad daylight, a wounded arm stuck up for anyone to see. Surely she was crazy.
How far is it into town?
6 kilometres.
What town is it?
A market town.
She wasn't going to tell me. She was determined to be in charge. It was she who'd found me some old clothes. She who'd instructed me in how to comport myself. all done with an almost dangerous devotion.
I haven't seen your father today.
He's away.
So we've left your grandmother alone at the mill?
For a few hours.
Supposing something happens?
Then it happens. She's lived through three wars. She knows better than any of us what to do.
You have great faith in her.
I have faith in God.
Germans!
Just keep looking straight ahead. It doesn't matter.
Two Jerrys, lying asleep in the back next to some breakdown gear. The first Germans I'd ever seen. And they were so very ordinary.
Get on.
What do we do if we get stopped in town?
We let the chickens loose on them, of course.
Cafes with empty tables. Silent women queuing for bread. At the checkpoint, two German troopers stared at us as we rode by. This was worse than the bloodiest trip I ever did.
You see the church? To the right is the Rue Saint-Honoré, where the two men on bicycles are.
I see.
Take the first turning on the right, La Rue Richer. Go to number 9, ring the bell twice, and say you've brought the chickens. My father has arranged it. He and the doctor are friends.
Where will he be?
In the church. Come to me there. If you don't, I shall know something has happened.
Till later, then.
Walk simply. Don't hurry. Don't imagine things.
And then I was alone, walking in brown canvas shoes through any French provincial town on a hot morning in late summer. The tide of war had washed me here, from the shriveled life of wartime England, from the bombs dropped by people like me, down into the heart of it, into the wrong clothes and the wrong place. Part of me felt absurd and ridiculous. The other part felt alive.
Good morning.
Yes, I've brought
come these. In. My brother's waiting for you.
Oh, thank you.
Here, if you'd like to come through here.
Yes.
Please take off your coat. Lie on the table.
Very good of you, thank you.
How long since you did this?
I've lost all track of time. Was it 2 nights ago, 3?
English pilot, yes?
Yes.
My sons flew Morane 406s.
Fighters, right.
Were you in France then?
Back in 40, no, I'd still been in training.
My son shot down 4 planes. You bled a great deal.
Yes.
He was himself shot down May 31st, 1940. Just before the capitulation.
Well, I'm sorry.
He was taken prisoner around the same time as Henri was shot down.
Henri? Who's Henri?
Francois's brother. He was not so lucky.
Killed?
Yes, killed.
So that explained a few things.
Has the bandage been off before?
No.
Sadly, I have no anaesthetic. I apologise. I apologise for France.
There's no need.
Defeat and humiliation are bitter pills.
They beat us too. Difference was we had somewhere to escape. I stole a glance down at the wound and felt nauseous. 6 inches long, wide and raw.
This is antiseptic. It will hurt some more, I'm afraid. Hold on. That's it.
The antiseptic like acid, burning a path down through to the bone. I lay back and closed my eyes against the light. And the waves of cold darkness came up to claim me.
Are you all right now? You can stand. The best I could do was put on clips. With an arm like that, you should be in hospital.
It's the same as prison.
I wish I could help you more.
You're already taking a great risk for me.
It's a pleasure to do something positive. One moment. He's ready to leave. Is it all right?
As far as I can tell.
You'll need rest, plenty of liquids, and hope. Lots of hope.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Will you have to walk far?
Back to Francois in the church.
Francois' father?
Yes.
Will you give him my regards?
Of course.
Good luck.
Thank you.
You'd come back this morning, and you did.
That proves something, does it?
Faith has nothing to do with proof. I have faith you'll get away safely. I can't prove you will, but I have faith you will.
I wish I could believe you.
Then do.
What town is this?
There's no need for you to know.
I'd like to know.
It's better if you tell.
It's very important for me to know.
It's very important for us that you shouldn't.
I think Connie and I should get away tonight.
No.
Then tomorrow, surely. It must be soon.
When it's possible. Not yet.
If anything were to happen, it's not just you they'll shoot. There's your father, your grandmother. They'll even shoot your damned horse.
There's no need to be afraid for us. It's been done before. With faith. It'll be done again.
You've done this before.
Others have.
How old are you?
Why is that important?
And somehow, I don't know how, I felt my free hand against hers, touching her hair and gently stroking her fingertips. Listen, I do have faith. I have faith in you.
I need to pray. Ave Maria, gratis plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen.
Over. What's the matter?
I don't suppose there's any more of that morphine.
You know there isn't. Listen.
Give me that.
Bloody Jerry's have been here.
What?
About an hour after you left. I was looking out that window and there he was.
The Jerry's?
One, with the father, together.
I thought he'd gone out.
Exactly.
What were they doing?
Talking.
Really?
Very cosy. Go for a walk, have a bit of a conflab, and then disappear into the grapevines where I can't see them.
So?
They were in there best part of half an hour.
And?
And then they were downstairs for 20 minutes afterwards, talking.
About what?
Well, you tell me. Then he left.
The Jerry did.
Walking, which means he couldn't have come far. Yeah,
perhaps. Let's just think calmly.
Never mind about calmly. We're mad to trust them. We should go tonight. Did you get the name of the town?
No, the signs had all been removed.
Well, did you not ask?
She didn't want to say.
For God's sake, Frankie!
They have their reasons.
They're thinking of themselves. It's typical French. Yeah,
and what the hell are we doing? If you get caught, no one's going to cut your head off or set you against a wall and shoot you, but they will her. She's running that risk for us.
If she doesn't sell us out first.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
You're the one being ridiculous.
If you can't trust her, trust me. Trust my judgment. Connie? If we have to get out of here on our own, we can.
Getting help means waiting a couple more days, but if we have help, we can do it twice as fast.
She's very pretty.
What?
Well, then so is the other girl.
What girl?
The one that sold us out to the Jerrys back in 40. Four of us had to run. Only two of us couldn't run fast enough. If you think she'll not do the same, you're out of your mind.
You might have an Irish name, but you've all the pig-headedness of the very worst kind of Englishman. You're arrogant, narrow-minded...
Why don't you just own up to what's really going on?
Oh, well, it's really none of your business.
Of course it's my bloody business! We're in this together. Anything you do has an effect on me. Right now, we both need clear heads.
All right.
Where are you going?
To find out.
What are you doing here? You shouldn't come down here.
There was someone here today.
Yes?
A German.
Yes, about the vines.
Well, we wondered if everything was all right.
Everything is quite all right.
What's he saying?
His friend saw you with the captain today.
Huh. There may be a war on, monsieur, but we still have to make a living.
Do you think he suspected anything?
I don't think so. He was here to assess the grape crop. That's all. There's no need for you to worry.
No, I'm not worried. It was disconcerting for my friend.
Of course.
Do you have any idea when we might go? We're very aware of the risk to you.
There's no great risk. Except the risk of impatience.
Well, that's my feeling exactly.
The first few days are always the most dangerous. And then you'll need papers, and that takes time.
Yes, I understand. Forgive me. The doctor told me about your son, monsieur. Henri, was it?
Papa prefers not to talk of Henri.
Did you see Thérèse, the doctor's sister?
Yes, briefly. She said to send you her regards.
Was that all?
That was all. I'll be on my way back, if you think that's best. Mademoiselle?
I stumbled like a fool to the mill. The old woman had brought food, but I couldn't touch it. All afternoon, I lay on the boards, hot and stupid, the mill wheel beneath me beating a fever through my blood. And always, in my dreams, her dark eyes watching me. Doubting me. But when I woke, there was nothing but blackness. And in the middle of it, a tiny orange glow.
Are you smoking?
Thought you were asleep.
Put it out.
We're inside, who else gonna see?
We're in a mill, put it out.
An order then?
I said, put it out. Stupid bastard, put it out!
Yes, sir.
What the hell with you?
Three guesses where you're off to. You're a fool, Frankie! You'll get us both killed!
What's happened?
I need to talk.
What?
I need to talk to you.
Couldn't you sleep?
1 minute I'm too hot, next too cold. The arm's driving me crazy.
Let me feel your forehead. You're running a temperature. I'll ask Grandma if she has something.
No, not just yet though. Not now, please. Don't go. Let's walk. The reason I came down to the kitchen.
It doesn't matter.
No, it was O'Connor, my friend. It was him. He had a bad experience in France before. But what I said in the church, I do have faith in you. I trust you completely.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Why don't you want to talk about your brother?
Why do you think?
There's so much I want to know about you. So many things I want to tell you.
It's better that you don't.
Forgive me, please.
How many women had I kissed up till then? A dozen? Two dozen? And how many of those kisses do I remember now? But I remember this one. Not just because she was young and warm and giving. It was being on the edge of danger. Running my finger along the thread that holds everything together, not knowing if and when it might break.
You're shaking. You're ill.
No.
I know it. The way you kissed me.
Then I'll kiss you like I'm not ill. Sorry, I'm not very good with one arm.
This is no time.
It's the only possible
time. There are serious things to talk about.
This is serious.
You want to go, don't you?
Please, Francoise, not now.
Well, whether or not you go, it depends on the arm. If you're ill, it's going to make things complicated for all of us.
I know.
It's dangerous. You look sick.
I feel it.
What does he mean? Only one set.
I am sorry, monsieur.
Can't I get some more?
Apparently not.
Well, so what does that mean?
It means only one of us can go. So are you, you think it's safe?
Two aircraft came down. They know about one, but not the other.
Not ours.
We don't think so.
I'm not going without you. I'll wait.
It's not an option. Give me a hand, will you?
And you expect me to leave you like this?
Well, you haven't got any choice.
How will it look on me if they find you here and you never get back?
It's just a supposition.
Well, it's a supposition that stinks.
Will you show me the papers?
They're in the name of Jean Joubert. There's space here to fill in his age and description.
You are Jean Joubert on his way to hospital in Marseille.
Hospital?
Yes. You're deaf and dumb.
No kidding.
Yeah, makes sense. You won't have to understand or talk or argue.
I should go. Tell him to get to know the papers. Confidence matters.
We can't thank you enough.
I've arranged for someone to fetch him this evening. He should sleep.
Every day you stop here means added risk for these people. One man is one risk, two men doubles the risk. Every time we can lessen it, it's a good thing. If the papers are ready, you go. That's all.
And that's it. Is it?
When I'm better, I'll follow you. We can meet up in Marseille, the railway station. 4 weeks from now.
You don't know what the hell you're doing.
4 weeks today, or a few days either side. Station in Marseille at noon.
The only time you let me do anything, I got us over the river. Everything else, you screw up. And now, guess what? There's a girl.
That is nothing to do with
it.
There's
only one dumb bastard around here, Frankie. And it's not me.
This is the driver. Don't speak to him. You don't need to know anything about him. It's important that you do everything that you're told.
Shut her up, will you? I know what I'm doing.
If you're caught...
I don't intend to get caught.
Yes, but if you are...
Name the number only. I know.
Good luck.
You need it more than I do, chum. I left your gun and half the ammo under your pillow. We're each of us on his own now.
If we'd been fighter boys, this is how it always would have been.
Only we're not. We're a team. This is all wrong.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Monsieur?
He needs to drink.
Can you hear me, monsieur?
His temperature's very high.
Can you see me, monsieur?
He's sweating so much.
Can you look into my eyes?
He needs water.
Can you hear me?
Monsieur, you remember the doctor?
Are you still sleepy?
Why wouldn't he stay still?
He hasn't been able to talk.
Why wouldn't they all stay still?
He should be in hospital.
There was something important being said, only... I couldn't work it out.
You have to make a choice, monsieur. Are you listening? Nod if you know what I'm saying.
I hear you.
You must choose between going to hospital as a prisoner or remaining here.
For hiding and escaping him and the consequences are very serious.
As you know.
Then I want to stay here.
There is the other side of the picture. You must be aware what it means to stay here.
I'm fully aware.
It's not quite that. If you remain here, we will have to take off your arm. Do you understand? Monsieur, I'll have to amputate it. Do you understand?
I was never going to fly again. A sudden panic. But then, a guilty thought. No more missions. No Hamburg. No Bremen. No Turin.
Would you like a few moments by yourself to think?
No, it's... It's all right.
Hospital are here, either way you lose the arm. Only in hospital, they'll have anaesthetics. I have none. So you still have a choice.
No choice. I'll stay here.
You understand what I'm saying about the pain? I have no laudanum. You'll need to be very brave.
When will you do it?
Tonight.
Monsieur, the doctor's ready. I've a little brandy. Here. Drink.
Already I felt dead. My whole body stripped bare. Even the veins were empty. Only the arm was alive. Full and fiercely alive. And bloated with pain.
Where's Francoise?
Gone fishing.
Fishing?
I told her to.
You might want to bite on this, monsieur.
She'd gone fishing. For eels. Or perch. Or trout. Keeping one eye on the float. Watching it bob up and down in the water. If she concentrates hard enough on the fishing, the eels and the perch and the trout, and blocks out the world, then maybe she won't hear. Maybe she's praying. Praying for a fish. Just one. Not a big one. Half a pound, maybe. To go with the others she's caught. Fish for supper. Faith in the fish. Faith in each other. Faith in the future. One more fish. Please, O Lord. One more fish.
Monsieur?
I mean...
Are you going to be sick again?
No.
You want something?
Yes.
It's too soon to eat.
Water.
Here.
And I stretched out for the bottle.
Oh.
Oh. With an arm that was no longer there.
Let me...
Never going to fly again. No more missions. No more flak. No more 109s.
What day is it?
It was Monday when the doctor operated. It's Wednesday now.
Is everything all right?
With you, monsieur, yes.
I mean, everything.
If anything in France is ever right.
How do you mean?
Well... I'm old enough to remember the war of 1870. Things a little girl should not see. They'd have used a sword back then.
Sorry?
To cut off the arm. How old are you?
23.
Too young to remember the last war. That was butchery. They carted them about like animals. Dear God, dear God. Did you ever hear of the mutiny?
What mutiny?
At the Gare du Nord. When the soldiers mutinied and refused to go back to the front.
No.
No. It never got in the papers. But that was the moment.
What moment?
When France grew weary of war. You're lucky.
Why lucky?
No more fighting for you. No more killing. No more being killed.
The idea of never flying again. Of course I'll fight.
Why?
Because it's my duty.
Oh, you think you're going to fly a plane one-handed when you can't even button up your own trousers?
No Bremen. No Hamburg. No Turin. Can I see Françoise?
She's fishing.
Again?
She fishes every day.
Why?
All in good time.
One. Two. Three. When I finally rose from my bed, the leaves were turning.
One.
The left arm might be missing below the elbow, but the leg still worked fine. After a fashion.
We have to go.
Sorry?
Now, just for a short while, please.
I don't understand.
Unfortunately, two Germans were killed in town yesterday.
Unfortunately?
Because the innocent will suffer. There's a curfew. Already they're taking hostages. And there's a house-to-house census.
Well, they'll be coming here.
We know they're coming here. Pierre and Father will carry you.
No, I can walk.
Please, don't argue.
We can't waste time arguing.
Don't forgive me, monsieur.
And that's the last thing I remembered, until I woke up. I can't move. I'm lying in the bottom of a boat, tied to a board, beneath a tarpaulin. The only thing I can see is a girl's ankle. Her ankle, rocking back and forth, in time to the rhythm of the oars.
Françoise!
Keep still. There's a sentry on the bridge.
I think of O'Connor and wonder where he is and if we'll ever meet again. I don't know where I am or where I'm going. I have no papers, no plan, no prospects. Just a service revolver, 10 rounds of ammunition, and her.
Halt!
Monsieur?
Pull the boat into the side of the river!
Fair Stood the Wind for France by H.E. Bates, dramatised for radio by Maddie Fredericks. Franklin was played by Rory Kinnear, O'Connor by Tom Goodman Hill, and Françoise by Louise Brealey. Grandmother was Ellie Haddington, and father, Bruce Alexander. The doctor was Ewan Hooper, the woman, Kate Layden, and the sentry, Kenneth Collard. Fair Stood the Wind for France was produced and directed by Jonquil Panting.
And we'll find out whether Franklin and Françoise make it across France to freedom in part two of Fair Stood the Wind for France tomorrow at the same time.
The Comedy Club with Arthur Smith.
I have Xavier Patil with me. Yeah. How's the bit doing stand-up again? Because you haven't done it for years, have you?
No, I stopped doing it in 2003. I had a very bad gig. I talk about this in my stand-up show. I had a really bad corporate gig. There were all sorts of other things why I thought, you know what, I've been doing this for a long time and I don't quite fancy it. And a couple of years later, I kind of decided not to do telly for a while anymore either because I wanted to write books and films. And also, I had children and I just thought, you know, I can't... By that time, I'd been in it for sort of 23, 24 years. And I don't know about you, but there comes a point where you think, you know what, I'm not sure this is what I want to do forever. So I stopped doing
it. But I've had periods where I've not done stand-up, but I kind of, even then, I sort of think, well, I'm going to go back. In some senses, you miss it a little bit, because of course it's the absolute opposite of writing.
That's
it's a great gregarious event, and writing's a solitary thing.
Yeah, someone said to me 2 days ago, this commissioner bloke, he was actually quite a good bloke, I know that's normally an insult, but he's quite a good bloke, he said... that I think when you're a stand-up, it's a bit like being an alcoholic. You basically never are not a stand-up.
Yeah.
And I think that is true. I don't think I ever thought I'd given it up. I just thought I'm not going to do it for a bit and I'm not going to appear on TV for a bit because I do want to leave my mind free of all that stuff. Because also the other thing about performing is when you've got a gig that night, it drives everything else out of your head,
I find. Yeah, it's quite hard to work during the day.
It's really hard to work on anything else. It's really hard just to relate to your family and stuff like that, because really all you're thinking about is the gig.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is the point. When I started doing this show, which is about sort of the nonsense of fame, the weirdness of fame, it's full of stories of sort of odd little tiny humiliations that have happened to me as a result of being famous, but it is also about a serious subject, which is the way that your personality gets distorted by fame and how there's another version of you out there which isn't you. I thought, you know what, I'm actually not going to do something which I've done for years when I used to stand up, which is if I think of a funny thing, I'll crowbar it into the set. I'm not doing that. I will actually just try and talk about this subject.
So you actually have a sort of subject. It's more high concept.
It is a concept album, and also it's got little serious moments in it. It actually finishes on a kind of moving note about my daughter. It's a bit like the way that old style comedians would finish on a ballad about their mum, except it's sort of a moving thing where I show some quiz.
It's a role that always works.
It's
The Comedy Club on BBC Radio 4 Extra, Sunday to Friday nights from 10.
Mel's here for the next hour. I'll be back at 5 when the Royal Dingle Company will be reenacting the Bard's great cinematic moments, featuring Lionel Blair. I can't wait. Desmond Olivier Dingle's complete life and works of William Shakespeare, the final part, is at 5.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Hello, good afternoon. You're listening to BBC Radio 4 Extra, and this is the 4 o'clock show with me, Mel Gedroych. I'll be here with you over the next hour. What a lovely thought that is for me. Hope it is for you as well. Coming up on today's show, we'll join author Damien Dibbin, the man behind the History Keepers series of books, and find out where he goes when he's in need of a bit of inspiration.
We're going to go upstairs, I think, to the Roman galleries and also to the horological galleries where they have
clocks.
Watches.
Plus, following yesterday's trip to Spruce Pine in North Carolina, home to the secret ingredient for computer chips the world over, we'll hear how that valuable quartz is made ready for use.
That rock gets dropped into crushers and reduced in size, taken in and separated by its chemistry. Then it generates this product, this sand product.
And we'll listen to the latest chapter in our current 4 o'clock show story, Hacker, by Mallory Blackman. Today, there's trouble.
All at once, the hairs on my neck started to tickle and prickle. I rubbed the back of my neck, but the feeling wouldn't go away. Then my blood turned ice cold.
All that, plus we'll go off exploring on my magical mystery tour. Every day on the show, we venture off to a new destination. Sometimes we go to somewhere completely new and obscure, sampling the sights and the sounds, or sometimes we go somewhere very well known, uncovering quirky stories or exploring little-known nooks and crannies along the way. Sometimes we go to a place back in time. We've done that a few times. Or out to space. You never know where Melvin the trusty bus will take us. But I'll give you a few clues over the next 45 minutes or so and see if you can figure out where it is we're off to.
If I'm leaving on a jet plane, don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go.
Today we're going somewhere many people will have been before. For most, though, it signals the start or end of their travels rather than being the final destination. It's a major UK transport hub whose history is rooted in farming and agriculture. Have a think for now, and I'll give you a few more clues later on. On yesterday's Magical Mystery Tour, we visited the US state of Oklahoma, celebrating the anniversary of the world's first ever parking meter being installed in Oklahoma City in 1935. It was 1958 when they made it to Britain, but now these alarm clocks on sticks are being ripped from the pavements as new technology and different payment methods have made them redundant. Jenny Eclair continues the story of the parking meter, and she's following the scent of the money.
In the 1980s, there was a dawning realisation. Parking meters were about making money. A lot of money. The men at the RAC had been crunching numbers. In a seminal moment in 1980, their representative, Mr. Ron Naylor, set people thinking.
Outside London, the leading profit-making authorities with surplus incomes all topping a quarter of a million are Brighton, Bristol, Leeds, Manchester, Plymouth and Sheffield.
Now, they're all doing quite
nicely.
They're
all doing very nicely. As I say, since they've had it, the surplus, not their incomes, the surplus, all topping a quarter of a million pounds.
We have two large ScanCoin heavy-duty processing machines in here. And I mean,
you can't just have a couple of people with little Hessian bags and a calculator sorting it all into piles. In an imposing, even ominous building that shears up from Victoria Street in Westminster Council HQ, in a room at the back, Jerry Warner, parking infrastructure manager.
And we're just tipping one of these boxes into the hopper now, ready for processing. Coins.